To order, my name is Tony Giancola, Vice Chair. I'll be Chair today. Before we start, how about a safety minute?
Thank you, Chair Giancola.
Mr. Doherty?
Good morning, members of the board. In the event of an alarm activation, we'd ask first that you exit via the doors to your right or left or in front or back, depending on where you're sitting, and cross in the crosswalk and assemble in the sidewalk area at H and Fifth Street, since the fencing's up over there, and so that we can make sure that everyone's accounted for. Our safety contact this morning is basically June is National Safety Month, and the National Safety Council encourages organizations to get involved in and participate in National Safety Month as a time to bring attention to key safety issues. National Safety Month is an annual observance to educate and influence behaviors around leading causes of preventable injuries and deaths. This year's theme, Safety, It Takes All of Us, was inspired by the idea of continuous risk reduction, a key pillar in the journey to safety excellence. Everyone in an organization can get actively involved in risk reduction efforts through hazard identification and reporting. Each week, the National Safety Council has a different theme, and for week one, it is preventing prescription drug abuse. Prescription painkiller abuse is a rising epidemic and can greatly impact the workplace. Behavioral changes may include lack of attention or focus, poor decision making, poor judgment, unusual carelessness, frequently missing work. Many addictions stem from a health problem, and prevention is important. Back injuries are the most common work-related injuries, and most back injuries are treated with anti-inflammatory medicines, physical therapy, and exercise. However, sometimes painkillers are prescribed. When they are, they should be used for less than 7 days, as longer increases risk. Being proactive is important, such as pay attention to good form and lifting, watch your weight, excessive weight places great strain on your back. Consider quitting smoking as it restricts nutrients to the spinal disc. This would conclude my safety contact for this morning. Thank you,
Mr. Doherty. Today the agenda includes one action item, but before we get to that, I'd like to get a motion to approve the minutes of the April 10th meeting.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Also approval of the agenda, which I guess I should have done first. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, the first action item and only action item today is the approval of the Inspector General's work plan. Helen Liu will be before us today to present the work plan for approval. Key purpose of the plan is set audit priorities for the year. The work plan is directly linked to the Metro mission and strategic goals. I will now turn the floor over to the Inspector General, Helen Liu, who will walk us through her presentation.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. We are here today to request the committee's approval of OIG's calendar year 2014 work plan. The work plan covers the work of OIG's two key components, audits and investigations. One key purpose of the work plan is to set the audit priorities based on an audit risk assessment of WMATA's programs, operations, and activities. As noted by the chair, the work plan is linked to WMATA's strategic goals. The calendar year 2014 work plan contains 10 jobs to be performed by the audits component. Three are carryovers from 2013 to be completed in 2014. Of the three carryovers, two, WMATA's use of federal grant funds and the Human Capital Management Project, have been completed and reports have been issued. The remaining carryover, a review of asset security controls, will be issued in the form of a draft report later this month. There are seven new jobs in the work plan. Four of these, WMATA's Oracle database, local jurisdictional subsidies, the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program, and the Escalator Rehabilitation Replacement and Maintenance Program are currently underway. In addition to audits and evaluation, OIG's audits component performs contract pricing attestations, pre-awards, and Buy America Act requirement engagements. So far this year, OIG has issued 11 attestation reports and memorandums. Four of the attestations involve pre-negotiations with a proposed contract value of about $13 million. OIG proposed pricing adjustments of $3.6 million. WMATA's procurement office, using OIG's work, negotiated the contract amounts downward by about $3 million. I am proud of the accomplishment of OIG's audits component. The Association of Local Government Auditors conducted a peer review last month of our organization's internal control system and found it was suitably designed and operating effectively to provide reasonable assurance of compliance with government auditing standards for audit and attestation engagements. During the period May 1, 2011 through April 30, 2014. I am also proud of the work of OIG's investigations component. OIG has received 150 complaints or allegations as of the end of May. Of these, 107 were referred to management, 21 were open as investigations, and the remaining 22 are either pending a preliminary inquiry to determine if they warrant further investigation or were closed out with no further action. The investigation component has issued 7 reports so far this year. This concludes my remarks. I'll be glad to answer any questions the chair or any members of the committee may have.
Thank you, Ms. Liu. Before I open it up to questions from the other members present, one of the things we wanted to do is also identify in the plan the risk associated with each of the audits. Can you kind of, just for the general public, explain how you determine the risks levels of high, medium, and low?
Okay. What we did is we had a team of our managers who also got feedback from their staff, also got feedback throughout the year from ELT members, even from members of the board. We also relied on complaints we got from our hotline. And we identify areas or categories of risks. And through that process, we assess based on our knowledge, based on what was coming in as complaints, and also based on reports that we have issued, external audit as well, we did an assessment looking at the various categories. And for the IT area, I think we had 12 areas that we looked at. And outside of IT, we looked at 8 areas. And we identified 10 offices in the department, CFO, Metro Access, Safety. There were 10 offices, IT. And of these 10, we then identify risk categories, of which there were 12. And the 12 are a number of problems through the hotline, through the talking to people. We then rank them, and we rank them as far as we have one, I think. Let me ask Andy Clemens, who was very instrumental in pulling together the risk assessment, and have him walk you through that.
Mr. Clemens?
As Helen stated, we developed the audit risk assessment by identifying 10 department/offices within the authority. Within those 10 department and offices, we then identified the auditable units under each one of those departments. Then what we did is we assigned some risk categories to each one of those auditable units. And based on those risk categories, we rank them whether or not The risk was high, low, or medium. And we did that by looking at the likelihood that a particular event would happen and the impact if that particular event occurred. And then after we did that, we took the average risk score and decided whether or not it was high, low, or medium.
Okay, thank you. Are there other questions for the Ms. Liu or Patty?
Yeah. Good morning. Is there a time frame for each of the 10 major projects that you would anticipate them being completed?
Yes, there is. I think I already mentioned to you we have four of them that are underway. Three of those we envision will be completed probably early November of this year. One of them will probably take longer. That's the one on the local jurisdiction subsidies. And on that one, we're going to try to work around the schedule of our CFO staff. Our CFO staff are quite busy right now responding to the FMO report as well as pulling together information for the financial statement audit. So that one we envision, it will probably be more like March of next year. But in the meantime, we expect the survey work will probably be done around the September time frame, and if there's anything that warrants management's attention right away, we will certainly let them know of that and not wait until we finish all the work. There's certain things that might could be taken care of quickly, and if we see any of that, we will certainly inform the appropriate parties.
Is there any consideration given to including those proposed timelines in the report? I think it would be helpful in terms of the board and our accountability to kind of get a sense of what to expect and when to expect.
We certainly can do that.
Okay. Just one other question. Perhaps this is something I should know. But in terms of presenting the work plan for this year, do we expect that in the future the work plan would be presented in advance of the year we're actually into?
Yes, we did do that. The work plan was first given to the Audits and Investigations Committee last November. But with the board schedule as hectic as it's been difficult to necessarily schedule everything. But we've had some sessions on the work plan.
Thank you.
Yeah, good questions. I might add that we did make some adjustments to the work plan, and it should be noted that the work plan is a calendar year plan, not a fiscal year plan. Other questions? Ms. Hines?
Thanks, Mr. Giancola. As many might imagine, there's a lot of interest in what you'll find or not find relative to the local subsidies, the jurisdictional subsidies. My question, Helen, is does this cover operating and capital? Or
Yes, it will be. For example, the one that you pointed out, the local jurisdiction subsidies, we know that the local jurisdiction provide operating money to make up for any shortfall in the operating budget. We also know the local jurisdictions also provide their share of matching funds on capital projects. And we also know local jurisdictions have reimbursable projects. So certainly those three, and our plans are, given the schedule of the authority on the FMO and the financial audit, we're going to start our work at the local jurisdiction first.
That's great. I would just call out for all of us that we're going to have the CFA conversation going on this fall, and so to the extent there's anything that's useful to support that work, it would be good.
Yes, and Ms. Hines, our plans are working with Regina Sullivan. Our plans are to have an entrance with the local jurisdictions, pull them all together and let them know about the audit and our plans for work at the jurisdictions first. And we also plan to meet with the various board members, such as yourself, because I know you're interested in that particular audit.
Great. Thank you.
Other questions? I'll entertain a motion to approve the Inspector General's work plan for 2014.
So moved.
So moved by Mr. Downs, second by Ms. Hampshire-Cohen. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Liu.
Okay, thank you.
I don't think we have anything else on the agenda, so this meeting is adjourned.